Join me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 as we continue our study through Paul's writings to the church in Corinth. From this point on, as I mentioned last week, it gets into not necessarily a very good flow, but he is basically responding to questions and issues, and he brings up one issue after the other and addresses them here in chapter 6. Some Bibles have the subheading, Lawsuits Among Believers. I will be reading the first 11 verses. If any of you has a dispute with another, dare he take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, appoint as judges even men of little account in the church. I say this to shame you. Is it possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? But instead one brother goes to law against another, and this is in front of unbelievers. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourself cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. I pray the Lord would add his blessings to the reading and help us understand this. I demand my rights. It's a common occurrence in our society today to assert and demand our personal rights. And there are certain rights as U.S. citizens we can demand. But here's what typically happens. We start out with the principle that's good, and then we get carried away. We have this tendency to take the truths of the rights that we profess are ours, and we begin to overstate them, or we began to overclaim some privilege because of them, and then it continues to build and we go to extremes with all of its consequences and ramifications. Today it seems like every group, every subculture or cult or people with some eccentric lifestyle or some particular distinction can be heard time and again demanding their rights. There is in our society today an obsession with individual rights. And this demand for individual rights is severed from any responsibility or any restraint or any limitations. We hear people say often, I demand my rights. And this comes from a desire for autonomy. Self-law, self-rule, self-determination. And it also is connected with a disregard for anything that would restrain, meaning God's direction, God's law, God's way. To ask one to relinquish one's rights today seems incredibly foreign. Women's rights, civil rights, gay rights, liberation rights, personal property rights. It is true, I think, that all of these contain an element of a Christian component. However, on many occasions, these positions become exaggerated, and in many cases, they owe their mere existence to a secular influence, and certainly a non-Christian influence. The church in Corinth faced such as this. They faced individuals who sought to establish their personal rights and defend their aberrant, eccentric, distinctive lifestyle. I'll take you back to chapter 5, as we discussed last week. We had a case of incest that we discussed. And we should not doubt that this case made it into the courts at some level. Because in this culture, in this day, lawyers were even more prevalent than they are in our society today. Everybody thought themselves a lawyer. Paul here is calling on the church to remember who they are. Remember who they are. And what damage is done to themselves and to the church when they act like the non-believing world. This demand for personal rights has led some within the church to the courts of law. Believers are suing each other in the public courts. And Paul is telling them that you find yourself in the public courts means you've already lost. Look at verse 7. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. So the mere presence of this means the church has already lost. Accusations between brothers and sisters in the church have made it to this level. And making it to this level reveals that there is this deep-seated mistrust in the church. And this deep-seated mistrust reveals again, as I've said every Sunday here, this level of immaturity in the believers. Remember last week we spoke about church discipline. And we spoke about church discipline at length. I took you to Matthew 18, which is the cornerstone, if you will, the centerpiece that guides us in our church discipline. And there it tells us very clearly, if we have a dispute with a brother or sister, we are to go to them and try our best to clear that up. If they will not listen, then take another and go and try to clear that up. And if they will not listen, it eventually ends up to where you bring them before the church. And if they still will not listen, you turn them out as non-believers. And we are to do this, addressing this issue of dispute between us, sooner rather than later. Go with me to Matthew 5, 23. Go with me to Matthew 5. This is our Lord Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Beautiful teaching. Incredible messages in here. But there is an element of this sermon that speaks to what the church in Corinth is dealing with. Let's start at verse 21. Let's just get the whole thing. Verse 21. You've heard it that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, if anyone is angry with his brother, will be subject to judgment. Anyone who says to his brother, Racha, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But if anyone says, you fool, will be in danger of fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that a brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary, who is taking you to court. And I'll stop there. Here is a gentleman, or here the context is that they are in the midst of worship. Now, let us realize and remember how critical and important the worship of our Lord Jesus Christ is. It is the utmost. It is the top of the heap. It is the pinnacle of what we do. We are to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. Here in this teaching, he says, if you're in the middle of worship and you remember that you have something against someone or someone has something against you, stop. Go settle the matter, then come back. So, if anybody in this room has anything against somebody else, I'll stop. Okay, I take it no one in this room has anything against anybody else in this room. See, that's how serious this matter is. The church in Corinth, now go back with me to chapter 6 to 1 Corinthians. The church in Corinth was not dealing with the issues that came up between them. Have there been issues that come up between some of us? Yes. Have we been diligent in going to that individual and addressing those matters? I know where that's occurred. I know some other cases where it probably needs to occur. And the point of our Lord's teaching in the Sermon on the Mount is that we do not let those things rise and become the elephant in the room that affects our worship with each other. Not of each other, with each other. 1 Corinthians 6 says, if any of you has a dispute with one another, dare he take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, aren't you competent to judge trivial cases? First, foremost, believers, according to this biblical teachings, are not to sue each other. Pure and simple. Believers are not to take each other to the courts to settle the matters. Differences are to be handled in the church. Look at verse 4. If any of you have disputes, appoint as judges even men of little account in the church. Now, Paul said this to shame the church in Corinth. But his point here is that we in the church should have the wisdom, even those of lesser position within the church, not necessarily the session or the deacons or some, the patriarchs as I've named individuals in the church. We should be able to handle these things. We should be able to handle disputes. No matter what level the disagreement, differences among the believers are to be handled in the church. Now, I know some of you are sitting here going, yeah, right. Yeah, right. We are such a litigious society and have such a low view of the church that we cannot in our rational minds think that there's someone in this church who could handle a difference of some magnitude between him and him. We would say, who in the church is qualified to hear such a thing? Can I get justice if it's handled in the church? Well, see, for me, if I heard those statements, then that reveals to me that you're just like that I spoke of earlier. You're more concerned with your rights than you are to keep peace in the church. And Paul has a response for those of this opinion. Look at verse 7. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you've already been defeated. In verse 8, excuse me, let me read the rest of 7. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Meaning, instead of bringing your brother and sister to court or bringing a matter before the church, give it away. Sacrifice your position. Relinquish your perceived rights. But our pride won't let us do that. But let's get to the bigger issue at hand here. There's a larger meaning a meaning of greater importance here wrapped around this. Look at verse 2 again. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial things? Do you not know that we the church, we the people of God, we will sit in judgment over the angels? I dare say we've not heard that often in the context of church. But that's exactly what we will do. Now let's take one word here and make sure we understand it, because it is a little bit tricky. The word judge might better be translated preside or officiate, be assistant to, or in the context of presiding. We will preside along with Jesus Christ. The commentator Matthew Henry writes, "By judging the world and angels, it is to be understood we are to be assistants to Christ in that great day of judgment." Jude 14 and 15 says, "Our Lord's coming with 10,000 of His saints to execute judgment on all." 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 says that He will come to judgment with all His holy ones. We who are believers on that day of judgment will sit on the bench, if you will, with our Lord Jesus to approve and applaud, give our favor to those righteous judgments made by our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew Henry goes on to say, we are not partners in His commission, meaning we don't have the commission the Lord Jesus has. Him being the judge on behalf of the Father is His commission. But we have the honor to sit alongside Him and see His proceedings, give our assent to His proceedings on a wicked, wicked world, and approve of it. So if we are one day going to be sitting in that esteemed position, Paul says, can't you handle the trivial things of this church, of this world, of this earth? According to Paul, we are belittling ourselves and showing our immaturity when we go to civil courts to settle affairs of the Lord's people. We will one day sit alongside our Lord in the judgment of the world. Again, do we not think we can handle the paltry things of this life? Well, most would say no, because they have such a low view of the church. Most would say no, because we have such a low capacity in the wisdom of God to do such things. Look with me at verse 9. Do you not know the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And you see that whole list there in verse 9 and 10. The wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those outside the church will not inherit the kingdom of God. If we continue in our sin, then we are at risk, possibly, of not inheriting the kingdom of God. If we do not act as the body of Christ, then we must ask, are we the body of Christ? It's easy, as we discussed in Sunday school, to play church. But are we truly among the redeemed? And do we act like the redeemed? And do we act like the body of Christ, conducting the business of His church with the authority of the judge who sits on the throne? And we are those sitting, presiding with Him. Fortunately, the verse 11 that follows this should be sweet words to everyone. Verse 11 says, after this horrendous list of offenders, he said, and that is what some of you were. That is what some of you were. He knows who he's talking to. He's talking to the church in Corinth. He's talking to the redeemed. Now, they're not acting much like redeemed, but they are the redeemed. They are the body of Christ, just acting poorly. And he's telling them, that's not who you are. Don't act like it. Don't act like the wicked of the world. We who believe are no longer among the wicked. We have been washed. We have been justified. We have been sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have my name on my head anymore. I am not my own anymore. I have the name of the Lord Jesus Christ on my head. Lord Jesus Christ is my head. I belong to Him. This means I'm no longer among the sexually immoral. I'm no longer among the idolaters, the adulterers. I'm no longer among the male prostitutes, the homosexual offenders, the swindlers, the cheats, those. That's not who I am. So I shouldn't act or conduct business by the ways of those who are of the world. If this is not if this is not who we are, then why so many times do we continue to act like the world? Why do business like the world? Why are we adamant to have our rights, our way protected? Paul says, why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. Amen. Amen.